may be seated. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to come over with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. While you're headed there, we just want to thank you for all of your prayers and all of your expressions of love and support for Pastor Glenn these past few days. Pastor had a procedure on Wednesday, and we're very happy to let you know he came home the next morning, and he's doing well. And praise the Lord. Because of that procedure that he's had, Pastor's not able to do certain things for a few days, so he won't be with us in worship today. But I know where he is. He's watching us. So why don't everybody just turn around and bless the pastor. God bless you, Pastor Glenn. And let's all continue to keep Pastor and Denise in our prayers, and Pastor will be back with us just as soon as possible. Want to remind you of our annual business meeting coming up on the 16th. Pastor shared with us last week that he and the board are asking us to approve a special request this year. Ordinarily, we select deacons and trustees at our annual meeting to replace those whose terms are expiring. This year, Pastor's requested that we retain two of the brothers whose terms are expiring. Excuse me, Bradley Apelgren's term is up. Brad is the head of our building committee. Matthew Tolentino, who's here somewhere with a snappy tie on, Matthew's term is also up, and Matt is our church secretary, whose name appears on all of our legal documents. Both these men are eligible for another term, but Pastor and the board are asking us to waive the usual procedure so that we can keep them on, keep Brad and Matthew in place. Both of these brothers have very important positions with respect to phase two, and it would help Pastor and the board out tremendously if we don't change the roster at this important point with what's going on in the phase two construction. So after this year, we'll go back to selecting board members as we always do, but in the midst of phase two, it'll be a great help to keep the current members in place. Our normal adult programs are canceled that night, that Wednesday the 16th, so we encourage all of our members to join us that evening so we can get your approval for that. And of course, as we always do at our annual meeting, we'll be receiving ministry reports and financial reports from 2015 to report to you. Finally, I want to let you know that we still have a few copies available of the book, Magnificent Obsession, that we've been reading, book by Brian Kim. It's a great little book that we've been reading during the season of Lent, and it's encouraging us to refocus our hearts on Jesus. We've been having a great time reading this book, and I really want to recommend it to you. I'm going to be sharing with you in just a moment from chapter 6 of that book that talks about the Holy Spirit and how he helps us. So let me encourage you to get a copy of that book today out of the Welcome Center. All right, John chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. This is Jesus, and he's speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And in verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Come down with me to verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I have said to you." And I'm going to jump over to chapter 16 in verse 12. The words are up on the screen for you. Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things that are to come. He will glorify me," Jesus said, "for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Here we see Jesus telling his disciples that God would send someone to be a constant companion for them, just as Jesus had been. And I want to share with you this morning on this topic, walking with the Holy Spirit. Walking with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray and let's invite the Spirit to come and help us as we look into the Word of the Lord this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus. It's the name that opens heaven's door to us. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of your word. Jesus said that the word of God is like seed. So, Father, we give you our hearts in this time. We pray that our hearts would be good soil, soil that can receive and retain and bear fruit from the seed of the word of God. Jesus said the words that he speaks to us, they are spirit and they are life. So, Holy Spirit, come. Minister life to us now from your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, over the last few weeks, as I said, we've been talking about Jesus, our magnificent obsession. And we've been sharing about our need to be captivated by a new devotion for him. You know, we like to sing around here that song that says, "For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory." Church, Jesus is worthy of our worship. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things he might have the preeminence. But this Christ of awesome power, the one whom angels worship, is also full of mercy and kindness. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he wants us to know him and experience his love. He desires to know us heart to heart and one day face to face. He calls us to be a people of one thing, focused on his presence. He invites us to pursue him like those great worshipers of the past, people like Mary of Bethany and King David. The world may think that that's a wasted life, but we gladly expend ourselves in loving service for our King. Our desire to know him better is a flame that grows brighter over time rather than flickering out. And Jesus calls us to remember that the greatest of God's commandments is that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's something encouraging in our text today, especially for anybody who's ever felt perhaps that you could not live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. He promises to help us overcome our weaknesses and our temptations and help us bear good fruit. He promises to help us love him the way he deserves. How will God help us? Jesus said that he would send us the Holy Spirit. In order to prepare his friends for a time when he would no longer be with them in this world, Jesus began to teach them about another one, someone who would remain forever. In John 14, he begins to teach them about the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit would do for them. Church, you know, God took great pains to teach us in his word what we needed to know about the Father and about the Son. And now in this chapter, Jesus is giving us the foundations of what we need to know about the Spirit and how he helps us to live. The disciples were people just like you and me. Their needs and their concerns were the same as ours. And the help that the Father sent them is the very same help that he's sending us 2,000 years later. The Father's help doesn't primarily come to us as power or as knowledge. It comes to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus says takes the things of Jesus and reveals them to us. The disciples would learn that the key to experiencing the kingdom of God was walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that real living, kingdom living, is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, we usually stop there, but it says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' words today, we find the answers to three important questions about the Holy Spirit, and I want to explore them with you. Whether you're a new believer or a veteran Christian, these are critical questions for every one of us. Three questions about the Holy Spirit, and the first one is this: who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? In John 14, in verse 26, Jesus talks about someone whom he calls the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And in that brief description, Jesus is giving us essential information that every Christian needs about the Holy Spirit. First, Jesus calls him the Helper. Now, that word translated as helper in our Bibles is a very difficult word to translate. Could you stand a Greek lesson this morning? You've had your coffee, right? It's the Greek word parakletos. Everybody say that, parakletos. Now, don't you feel Greek? Amen. Maybe you grew up in a church where you heard the Holy Spirit referred to as the paraclete. That's where that word comes from. Parakletos is a word that's made up of two parts. The first part is the word para. It means in Greek that something is with you or at your side. It's where we get English words like paralysis or paramedic or paralegal. The second part of the word is the word kaleo, which means to call somebody. So in the Greek language, a parakletos was somebody who was summoned to come alongside you and help you. Now, we don't have a good word for that idea in English, and so our Bibles translate it in different ways. Some translations call him the Helper. Other Bible translations call him the Comforter. Parakletos also meant somebody who encourages you, somebody who refreshes you, even meant somebody who represents you in court. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit? And we saw how Jesus said the Father was going to give us another helper, another comforter. What did Jesus mean by that? He was saying that the Spirit was just like him. Jesus was saying, I've been your comforter, but now that I'm leaving, the Father's going to send somebody just like me, someone who can be for you everything that I have been for you. Not only that, Jesus said, this comforter will live inside you and never leave. How many of you know that's a pretty good deal right there? Amen. In fact, Jesus said that this was so advantageous for us that it would actually be better for us if he left, so that the Spirit would come. That's an amazing statement, and it's something for us to consider. Of course, Jesus is still my paraclete. In 1 John 2, it says, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And you can probably guess what I'm going to say. That word advocate there is the word parakletos. Jesus is your advocate. He is your defense attorney. Give God praise for that. And any time that you need a little bit of encouragement, think about the fact that you have two comforters, one in heaven and one that's living right inside you. Amen. That's good news. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God I could probably use the help. So the first thing to know about the Spirit is that he's our helper. Second, Jesus called him the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he's the Spirit of God. And just like Jesus, this comforter is also a person. He is not an energy. Sorry to disappoint you Star Wars fans, but he's not the Force. The Holy Spirit is not a something, he is a someone. The Holy Spirit has every characteristic that makes a person a person. Just like you, he speaks to people. The Bible says he has emotions. He gives people gifts, the Bible says, according to his will. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity together with the Father and the Son. He is not God's assistant. He is not the junior partner of God. The Bible says that he's holy, and it calls him the eternal Spirit. The Bible says that he's omniscient. That means that the Spirit knows all things. It is this almighty person, the one who hovered over the waters of creation, that God is sending to you. Next, Jesus said, the Father sends us the Spirit. Now, we've been talking about how Jesus is our magnificent obsession. And our goal is to love Jesus Christ supremely. You know what the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, to live is... Oh, I see all the Bible scholars are here at 10 o'clock. Praise God. Paul said, to live is Christ. And because of that, some people have de-emphasized the Holy Spirit. But Jesus did not. Jesus knew that it was vital for us to walk in fellowship with the Spirit. And so he asked the Father to send him to us. The coming of the Spirit was a plan that was devised by the whole Trinity. Jesus prayed that the Father would send the Spirit. The Father was pleased to do so, and the Spirit came willingly. All three persons want us to enjoy the Holy Spirit's presence. So if anybody ever accuses you of being just a little too excited about the Holy Spirit, you could just tell them it was God's idea. Just blame God. And finally, Jesus says that the Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name. This tells us something important about the Spirit's mission. He comes in Jesus' name. Jesus came in the name of the Father to bring the Father glory. And the Holy Spirit comes in Jesus' name to glorify the Son. Jesus said, he will glorify me because he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. And even though he himself is worthy of our worship, the Spirit often takes a secondary role, pointing us to Jesus. He directs our attention to what Jesus Christ has done for us. The Bible says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to unveil and unpack that wonderful inheritance that we have. And he shows us how to walk in it. He comes representing Jesus, just as Jesus represented the Father. And Jesus said, he comes so that we won't feel like orphans while we wait for Jesus to return. Now, the word orphan that Jesus used in Greek, it means just what it means for us to lose a parent. But it also meant somebody, listen, it meant somebody who has lost their guide. Isn't that interesting? And so the Spirit comes to make sure that we always have God's guiding presence alongside of us. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of God sent by the Father to represent Jesus to us. He's a helper like Jesus who's come to give us his abundant life. We're exploring three critical questions about the Holy Spirit. The first question is, who is the Holy Spirit? The second question is this, how does the Spirit help me? How does the Spirit help me? Well, that's a big question, and there are probably dozens of ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. But I think we can simplify things by saying that the Holy Spirit does three kinds of things for us. First, the Holy Spirit helps me to know God. It's the Holy Spirit who convinces people of their need for Christ before they ever come to know him. He is the one who causes me to be born again. To be a believer, Jesus said, means that you've been born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes me a part of the body of Christ. He makes me to be one with Jesus Christ. He gives me the witness, the testimony inside my spirit that I've become a child of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that we have received the spirit of adoption by which we can cry out, Abba, Father. And that means that when I first begin to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in me, it's then that I realize that now I can truly call God my Father. Not only does the Spirit introduce me to God, but He keeps teaching us everything that we need to know about God along the way. Jesus called Him the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. He's the one who inspired the Holy Scriptures, and He teaches us the Word of God. When you read the Bible, you need to invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. You know, when we have those moments when we're reading the Word of God and something begins to finally click in us, when something starts to make sense, I hate to pop your bubble this morning, but that's not because you're so smart. It's because the Holy Spirit came and He gave you understanding and supernaturally opened your mind. That's what it says when the disciples talked with Jesus. It says, and then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's what the Spirit of God will do. The Holy Spirit is also the guide of the church. Jesus said He will guide you into all truth. He preserves us from error. Maybe you've had the experience of hearing a teaching, hearing a message, and you just knew inside you that something wasn't right about that message. I know that didn't happen here, but maybe you've had that experience. Praise the Lord. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit telling your spirit that something is wrong, even if you can't quite yet put your finger on it. Now, church, listen, that does not mean that we don't need teachers in the body of Christ. In fact, the Bible says that it is God who actually places teachers in the church. But if you value the truth, He's the Spirit of Truth. If you value the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has committed Himself to keep you from error. Part of His ministry is to help you become mature by avoiding error. How does the Spirit help me? By helping me to know God. Second, the Holy Spirit helps me to grow in God. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That means He makes us holy. He gives me strength to overcome temptation, strength to say no to the lusts of the flesh. He produces the fruit of the Spirit in my life, love and joy, peace, patience, all the other fruit of the Spirit, which are really nothing more than just the beautiful characteristics, the beautiful character of Jesus. And as I continue to yield to Him, the Holy Spirit over time causes me to resemble Jesus more and more. He washes me and cleanses me as I study His Word. He shows me who God has called me to be, and He gives me faith in my heart to believe that I can fulfill the purpose of God for my life. He gives me victory over life-controlling habits and over deeply rooted sins. He changes my desires. How many of you have been set free from something in this room and you know that God has set you free by His power? Change, praise God. He's changed us. He sets my affections on Christ so that I can overcome. Paul says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live." Jesus said, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Now that's a work that the Spirit does for people in the world, but I want you to know that He does it for Christians also. You know, when we're teetering on the edge of the cliff, the Holy Spirit warns us and He pleads with us to stop and not to sin. But if I do miss it, if I do stumble, He lets me know. He convicts me of my sin. And we sense His voice urging us to confess our sins and to be cleansed by God right away. You know, confess in our language nowadays means many different things. But what that word confess originally meant was it meant to say the same thing about something that somebody else was saying. It's a way of saying, I agree with what you said. And when we confess our sin, we are agreeing with what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, that what we've done is wrong. And we're acknowledging that before God. Thank God we have His promise. If we confess our sins, if we listen to the voice of the Spirit when we've blown it and when the Spirit says no, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, the devil accuses you, but the Holy Spirit does not accuse you. He points me back to Christ and to His cross. The devil will come and tell you that Jesus has given up on you, but the Holy Spirit will whisper. He'll come alongside like a paraclete and whisper in your ear and say, no, though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them as white as snow. The Holy Spirit helps me to know God also in deeper ways, in deeper levels of friendship. I like to say that God doesn't have favorites, but He does have intimates. The more we walk with the Holy Spirit, the more He shows us the Father's heart, and more and more and more and more we begin to understand the ways of God, not just know about God. Through His word and through His supernatural gifts, the Spirit encourages me and He strengthens me in the inner man. The Spirit helps me to know God, to grow in God, and then the Spirit helps me to show God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can show God to others. We can demonstrate the life and the power of God to a world that desperately needs to meet Him. The Spirit gives us boldness to share the gospel. Peter and the others were cowering with fear, but after the Spirit came upon them, they became as bold as lions. We can also live that way. We can draw our courage from knowing that the Spirit is always with us. He's the one who's always at my side, and He's always on my side. Praise God. Peter was transformed, not just because he had a one-time experience, but by walking with the Spirit every day. Peter grew into a man who could sleep like a baby, even though he knew he was facing the axe in the morning. Praise God. The Spirit gives us words to speak. He gives us wisdom that's higher than our own. Jesus said, I will give you a mouth. Some of you said that person next to me already. Never mind. I shouldn't have gone there. I didn't do it last time, but you know. Jesus said, I will give you a mouth and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. His Spirit can give us just the right thing to say, whether it's melting a heart of stone or encouraging someone who's weary. The Holy Spirit can give you the right words to say, to lift up the head of the discouraged ones. The Spirit gives us powerful, supernatural gifts, manifestations of His presence that prove that Christ is risen. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes in me, he will do the works that I have been doing, and he will do greater works than these, because I am going to my Father. The Holy Spirit enables you to do the works of Jesus. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. When Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, we begin to flow in the river of the Spirit. He gives us supernatural knowledge and supernatural speech. He enables me to speak in a heavenly tongue so that I can strengthen myself in the inner man. As the Holy Spirit comes alongside to help me, He enables me to know God, to grow in God, and to show God. Three critical questions about the Spirit we're looking at that every Christian needs to explore. Who is the Spirit? And how does He help me? And finally this, how can I walk with the Holy Spirit? How can I walk with the Holy Spirit? Jesus said the Spirit would come and He would remain with us. Jesus has returned to heaven, but just as He promised, the Spirit has come to become our constant companion. He wants to help us grow in our love for Jesus and enjoy our inheritance in Christ. You know, the Spirit delights to fulfill that ministry, but you and I have a role to play also. Our role is to walk with Him every day in fellowship and in friendship. Our job is to invite the Spirit's aid, to invite His help in our daily living. Church, you know that we're not capable of pleasing God in our own strength. We can never become more like Jesus, the beautiful one, through self-improvement programs. No, we need to keep walking with the Holy Spirit every day and keep asking Him for supernatural grace. Brian Kim, who's the author of the book Magnificent Obsession, says it like this: we cannot live for God in our own strength. We cannot strive our way into spiritual maturity. He invites everyone, but you must become as a child. And as a child, in utter dependency, unable to accomplish even the most basic of tasks apart from the aid of an elder, God grows us in loving, consistent participation with His Holy Spirit. Then he says, listen, we need God to help us love God. Amen. And as we close today, I just want to close by giving you some practical keys to help us grow in fellowship and friendship with the Holy Spirit. First, invite the Spirit to speak to you. Invite Him to speak to you. This may feel awkward to you at first, but only because we're so much more accustomed to speaking to Jesus. But I would suggest to you that it only may seem a little odd to speak to the Holy Spirit because too few of us have been doing it. We need to invite the Spirit to talk to us and ask Him to do the things for us that Jesus promised the Spirit would do. You could say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, give me revelation. Jesus said the Spirit is our helper. So when you need help, call out to Him. Say, Holy Spirit, give me boldness. Holy Spirit, encourage me. Give me the words to say to that person, Holy Spirit. Learn to speak with Him conversationally the way that you speak to Jesus already. You know that the Spirit of God is the best and most powerful friend that you have on this earth. Get to know His voice better. The only way I know that we can do that is just by hearing His voice more often. You know, when you hear the voice of your friend on the phone, I know we don't use the phone anymore to talk to people, but for the sake of this illustration that I'm about to give you, let us pretend that it's 10 years ago and that we talked on the phone to people, okay? Thank you. All right. When you hear the voice of your friend, or your kids, or your spouse, or your boss, you don't need to ask who it is. Why? Because you know their voice. And it's the same way with the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And the more time that we spend in communion with the Holy Spirit, the better we will be able to recognize His voice. Second, make the Holy Spirit your prayer partner. Make Him your prayer partner. I believe in praying for what we need and praying for what's going on in the world. Would you please pray for the election? Please. But church, prayer can't just be about what I want. It needs to be also about what God wants. Never go to prayer without the Spirit's help. Include Him in your praying. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in your praying. Holy Spirit, who do you want me to pray for today? Holy Spirit, is there something, is there somebody, is there some situation that you want me to start praying for on a regular basis? Let Him show you. Let Him start directing. Let Him start partnering with you in your prayer life. You know, we can always pray about what's on our hearts, but the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to pray about what's on His heart. And that's good preaching right there, as somebody likes to say. Third, make the Spirit your teacher. Whenever you read the Bible, invite the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and help you. Holy Spirit, would you open my heart so that I can understand what I'm about to read? Show me what you want me to know from the Word of God. Church, you know that the Bible is a supernatural book, and it has a supernatural author. But this book is the only bestseller I know whose author will take your call and explain to you what he wrote in the book. Amen. And finally, and maybe most important of all, have a conversation with the Holy Spirit all throughout the day. Worship team, you can come please and help us. Converse with the Holy Spirit throughout your day. Include the Holy Spirit and talk to him like a friend. You know that Jesus said, or the Word of God tells us, that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I used to think that that was about Jesus. But then I read in the Word of God that Jesus is our brother. He's not ashamed, the Bible says, to call us his brothers. So if Jesus is my brother, who is my friend that is closer than a brother? It's the Holy Spirit. And as you... as you talk to him like a friend, you will hear him speaking back to you, giving you wisdom, showing you things, teaching you what it means that you're in Christ and that he's in you, showing you the resources of God that are available to you in your spirit, giving you hope in your spirit when there was only discouragement previously. Imagine, sometimes I'm sure you have imagined, imagine if you could hang out with Jesus all day and talk with him. How many of you think that would be amazing? Amen. How you all fell into my trap. Because Jesus said it was actually better for us if he went away, so that he would send the Holy Spirit to us, so that he would be just that kind of friend for you. You know, in the early church, people found that the Spirit was always talking to them. In Acts chapter 8, the Spirit told Philip who to preach to. In Acts chapter 10, the Spirit told Peter who to go with. In Acts chapter 11, the Holy Spirit revealed some future events to the church so that people could get ready. In Acts chapter 13, the Spirit told them who to send out as missionaries. And in Acts chapter 16, the Spirit told them exactly where to preach. Don't go there, go there. And church, that was not something in their subconscious mind. On the contrary, those first believers in Jesus were fully aware that the Holy Spirit was guiding them. See, they had a living partnership with the Spirit. And because of that, they had confidence in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 15, the church had to make a major decision. Such a big decision that it still affects each and every one of us today, actually. You can read that later on. But when the church made that decision, they said something that could stretch some of us just a little bit. They said, this seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That's the kind of relationship that we can have with the Spirit of the Lord. And church, it's time that we found out what a wonderful friend he can be. He wants to be your guide, church. So can I give you a little helpful advice this morning? The next time that you have come to the end of your street and you have to turn the car around and go back home because you forgot something, don't get mad. Don't use any bad words. Instead of getting mad, say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Who do you think is the one that told you that you left the iron on anyway? Brian Kim says, the fundamental way to walk in the Spirit is by maintaining an active dialogue with the indwelling Spirit of God in us. This is key to our transformation and renewal. It is so simple that it causes many to miss it. Listen, but we will not walk in the Spirit more than we talk to the Spirit. He will help us to the degree that we talk to Him. The moments that we dialogue with Him are moments in which we are most aware of His power in the inner man. Talking to Him releases that power. In those moments, we turn the temptation into a conversation. We ask for grace in the very moment we need it, and He releases power on our minds and on our hearts. Church, I believe that God is inviting us this morning to enter into an exciting new realm of possibilities as we begin to walk with the Spirit. Church, today I want to encourage you to welcome the Paraclete, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to you and me. Come on, would you stand to your feet? Let's give Jesus praise in His house.